There's a lot of information about God, about what he's doing, what he wants to do, about your relationship with him. There are times that you get on the internet, you'll get on TV or radio, and you'll hear somebody speaking and it will click. And there are times it doesn't. Don't worry about it. I watched 4 programs with Bill Johnson on the atmosphere of heaven Friday. And to be totally honest, I didn't get a whole lot out of it. I didn't think. Until yesterday morning when I came into the church and I just sat down and started writing down some things, and I don't remember hearing him say these. He may have. Maybe my mind was distracted on Friday, but as I sat down yesterday morning, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, the atmosphere of heaven, I got that from Bill. But hopefully, God spoke into my spirit something that we not only want to see happening, and even if we don't believe it's happening or going to happen, it is happening right now. God desires to have a culture, an atmosphere of heaven to invade earth. He wants his presence and power, that his people are saturated, and wherever they go, the atmosphere changes, and they will challenge, battle, and overcome the power and presence of the evil one. That there will be a dynamic shift in the atmosphere, and people are lining up to give their life to God and serve him. It is time to see the fulfillment of Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. God will not be held hostage by some worldly political system. I want you to hear that. God is not held hostage by what's happening in Washington, D.C. God is not held hostage by what's happening in Cairo, Egypt, or in Syria, or wherever it might be. God's not held hostage by us. God is going to do what he's planned to do and designed to do it. And regardless what people are doing, he's going to do it in his timetable. How many realize it was the fullness of time that Jesus came? Galatians 4:6, I believe it is. In the fullness of time, God set forth his son. This is the time. This is the time for a change, not only in what's happening in the worldly systems, it's a time for a change in our emotional lives, that our spirit is released to do what he wants to do, and we're no longer walking around living by what we think or what we feel. If you're going to live by what you think or what you feel, you're a basket case. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Our mind's important. Our soul is important. But your spirit is the one in contact with God. And if you're trying to reach God through your mind, it's not going to happen until he touches your spirit. And that's why people get in a place where they're just fluctuating back and forth between God and the world. Because your mind, your soul, wants to take away everything God's teaching you and go back to enjoying life with the worldly pleasures. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever made your mind up to just serve God with your mind, soul, and strength? How many found it didn't work until you put your spirit in there? And so we're trying to touch God so that we feel good. God's trying to touch us so we're changed. Hello? Okay. God is moving in a sovereign way that will tear and destroy the control of man and the one who empowers them. Many have interceded for God to intervene, and we are seeing and will see His mighty, unlimited hand move and demonstrate His glory. I mentioned earlier about a great time to live. It's a great time to live because the access of God is so available and so open, and the revelation of God is coming all over. You say, what are you talking about? You know, back in the Old Testament, came to the prophets. How many understand that? In the New Testament, as the New Testament started, it basically came to 11 or 12 people. And then it began to spread, and it began to spread, and began to spread. And now it's happening on a worldwide basis to literate and illiterate people. God is just manifesting and revealing Himself, and there seems like there's an open heaven. It just seems like, I mean, and America is way behind the rest of the world. And God is taking of His Spirit and absolutely revealing Himself in massive ways, so much, don't take this wrong, so much that the church itself is fighting against it. You say, what are you talking about? There are denominations taking a stand, Pentecostal denominations taking a stand against the moving of the Spirit in 2012. So what I'm talking about this morning is just taking what God has said and letting it happen. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you want it or not, that's not the issue. The issue is don't fight it. Hello? Look at John 4:38 with me. If you just want to see. And I was just kneeling there yesterday morning, and all of a sudden this verse began to open up to me in a way I've never seen it. And I want that to happen. Let's start with verse 37. Let's just look at two of them. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. How many of you ever hired a custom combiner to gather in what you've planted? Or how many have had somebody else come in and plant, and somebody come in and you harvested it? This is very basic this morning. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. You say, what are you talking about? Talk to Frida, and you'll find out about a lot of people that have come through this region, starting churches, being on the reservation or on trust land, teaching people about Jesus. From what? When did that start, Frida? 1800s? Pardon? Right after the Civil War, 1800s, 1860s. I know Riggs came. I know other people. Other people were here when I came. Lynette Woodbeck. other people came in and started sowing and sowing and sowing, and for a period of time, there wasn't much of a harvest. When we went to Virginia, Minnesota, and I stepped into something that other people have sown, people had basically given up on the Iron Range. Claire and St. John went to Hibbing, Judy and I went to Virginia, and all of a sudden, the church in Hibbing was going crazy, the church in Virginia was going crazy. Of course, I was pastor, it had to be going crazy. But somebody agreed with that. Where's Carol White when you need an amen? And I never sowed. It just seemed like we came in there and God started just giving in the harvest. Now here's the deal. As the atmosphere of heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? Where? As it is where? Can you accept that? Can you accept the fact that you're going to be reaping for the kingdom of God without ever planting something? Can you understand that there's going to be such a seismic shift in what's going on in the kingdom of God that people may be knocking on your door to accept Christ? Can you understand that God is taking his word and bringing it to fulfillment because he's not willing that any should perish? And instead of packing your tent and hiding away and going into your bomb shelter, it's time to get out there and radiate the glory of Jesus and radiate the power of God and allow the presence of God that is saturating your life, whether you know it or not. There's changes coming in your life. The power and the Spirit of God is doing a work, and that work is going to be manifested, and you're going to walk the streets. And I have no doubt that just like Peter, your shadow may fall on somebody and they can be healed. Can we come to a place of accepting that and get out the soulish thoughts that everything is falling apart, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, that God just don't care anymore, God has given up, and so then I'm just going to hibernate? Hello? Curtis can't hibernate, he'll have to do it with the cows. And so we come to that place where we are absolutely living in, not living on the edge, but living in a time that God has promoted and prospered, that we need to see that his glory touches people's lives. Can I tell you something without getting political? It really is not going to hinder God, whatever our government does. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
It's really not going to hinder God, whatever our government does. I'd like to have a Christian in office. I'd love to see a man or woman of God sitting in the White House. But if that doesn't happen, that has never stopped God. In the Old Testament, when he was dealing with Israel, he did what he was going to do. Come on. And if it gets bad enough, the people of America are going to fall on their face before God, and it won't matter what the emperor or the president or whoever it is says, God is going to be God, and he's going to do and will do and not change his word to compromise with the political system. He's going to tear apart the works of Satan. You know the fun part of that? He's going to use you to do it. It's time. Turn with me to John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you." You know, there's three or four times in this chapter, at least three, that he said peace. Why? They thought he was dead. And every time he appeared to them, it stirred up something. But just maybe this time he said peace for another reason, or tied in another reason. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Don't miss this now. Get out of your mind once and for all, forever, that because of such and such and such, God will never use you. God will never minister through you. I never know enough. I've never studied enough. My past life was horrible. Everything about me is unfit. I can't. It's just impossible for God to find a way to minister through me. Get out. Get out of your mind this thought too. I don't want to do it. Hello? I don't want to do it. That's not your spirit. And how about I can't do it? Was it hard to get up here this morning, Abby? Absolute silence. How many of you, if you were the Jorgensen's girls, I didn't see you running up here, those of you that were at the school and teaching and singing and doing, I didn't see a mass crowd run up here to support Abby and just help her. How many were just comfortable where they were? The first thing, as Jesus will come to you and say, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you," the first thing we think about is, "I can't." Tina, did you ever have that feeling when it came to Youth Worth?
Most of the time.
And the feeling's okay as long as you don't give in to it. Because we can't, but with God we can. Amen? There's a lot of things I can't do, but with God I can. And so Jesus said, and I'm going to take you to another verse in just a minute. Jesus said, "As the Father sends me, I'm sending you." What does that mean? Does it mean that somebody's going to bring a donkey in and I'm going to get on it and I'm just going to ride like Jesus did?
Amen.
Go for it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the same power, the same anointing, the same ministry, the same character that was in Jesus Christ, I've placed in you, and you're going to walk this out as my son did. Do you realize when you look at the world and you start thinking of people being saved, it seems like an impossible task. It seems so big, why even think about it? Why even get focused on it? Why even come to a place that we're cared for anything more than our 24 people living around us? But when you look at it through the eyes of God, it's not that big at all. How big is the world, Kirk, compared to the universe? Can't measure the difference. Why, is the earth is that much bigger?
No, lot smaller.
There's something to tell your spirit, your soul. Let your spirit tell your soul. And that God is so much bigger than anything I've ever faced, any circumstance in my life, any earthly thing. God is so vastly bigger, stronger, and able to do anything but fail. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Okay, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Whatever He speaks to you. Huh? Somebody here has a worker you work with all the time that you're trying to share with. But God says this morning, I'm going to open that up. It's going to work. You may have somebody on Facebook. Anybody have on Facebook that just always, somebody always disagrees with you? Huh? Do you ever come to a place, I think I'll delete them? Come on. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to delete you. You're not going to bug me anymore, and I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm going to tell God if you die that I found you that way. Don't back down. Don't delete them. Let them voice their opinion. Huh? Yeah. Don't you think they're intentionally trying to get at you? Don't you think that they're intentionally trying to bug you? And so you're going to slip up and lose your cool? If you have, don't worry about it. You didn't offend them to hell number two. What are you saying, Pastor? God's plan is so simple, and yet it's so huge. It's so complex, but yet it's so understandable that all we do is say, Holy Spirit, lead me, and I'm following. Can I tell you something? Look at me. It's not our place to change the atmosphere. It's our place to allow God to work through us to change the atmosphere. Because it's happening. It's happening worldwide, and there's no reason it can't happen right here. How many of you understood today that God's trying to get our attention? How many of us understood that God is so much in love with you, as you've heard it 40 million times, but He wants us to come to a place where it's not one day He loves me, the next day He hates me, but that no matter how I'm doing, He loves me. I got to show you this. I wrote a little bit on Facebook. I didn't do a very good job with it, but John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Remember that? You with me? If the Father sent Jesus clothed in his glory, full of grace and truth, can you accept the fact that we are going to have encounters with God that absolutely saturates us with the glory of God, and that glory of God is full of his grace, his presence, his power, his anointing, his authority, and truth, the reality of who Christ is. And that's not something you have to work for. God wants to clothe his church, his body, his people in the very same glory that is manifested as the Holy Spirit saturates a service. It's not coming in here, get the glory, walk out and lose it. How many believe that? Can you accept that? Can you accept the fact that when you go out that door today, you can walk in that glory, and that glory of God is full of grace and truth, and that glory is from the Holy Spirit that's saturating your life, and when you see people, they sense and feel the compassion, the love, the anointing, and the authority. If authority comes because of a commission, how many know we have the commission? And when that authority comes because of the commission, we have the commission, therefore you have the authority. But that authority always works through love. We okay? And so let's stop something. And I'm not going to preach much longer. We've had a lot of stuff happen this morning. So what's this all about? It's about the kingdom and the glory of God coming to us in our homes, at work, whatever we're doing. You may be fishing. You may be shopping. And that glory is so manifesting itself, it changes the very atmosphere of the place you walk into. You do not have to walk in an atmosphere that's negative and down and demonic, no matter where you are. Because not only is God changing the atmosphere in the world, you change the atmosphere through the Holy Spirit in you when you walk into somewhere. Now, who's thinking me? Who's thinking how? Who's thinking, but you don't know? Yeah, we do. Has any of you classified yourself as the worst sinners? Really? Who told you that? Paul said, I was the chief of sinners, but God. You're in John 4 yet? No, you're in John 1. Go to John 4 with me. Look at 4:29. I want to read something I put on Facebook this week. The lady at the well, how many remember? Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? If you didn't get this, it's still on. I never taken it off yet. But I put this on there this week. Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. I am amazed at the love of God for us. Isn't it great to know that he knows everything we've ever done and he still loves us? Today is a great day to get rid of all the guilt, pain, and suffering from the past mistakes as we understand that God knows all about us, but our past doesn't matter. The woman he's talking to in John 4 had been married 5 times and was now living in adultery. But this didn't hinder Jesus from ministering to her. Your past or your present will not hinder Jesus from ministering to you today if you come to him. It's absolutely past time for the atmosphere of heaven to invade our church and to invade your life. And when that happens, and as that happens, and as things are shaking around us, the presence, power, and love of God will be so manifested. And you may look at me and say, Pastor, but don't you realize we're in the end times? Don't you realize as things may be coming to an end? Can I tell you something? Peter said the end times was back on the day of Pentecost. We've been in the end times for 1,000 years. I'm not minimizing that. The rapture will happen at God's time. I have no doubt about that. I'm changing. I'm thinking, I should say, that instead of sitting around and waiting for something to happen, God told us to occupy until he comes. It's not a mindset of putting up your feet and waiting for the rapture. It's a mindset, God, I got maybe 6 years or 6 months or 6 days to do your work. I'm laboring in this kingdom under your anointing, and I'm going to be that light wherever I go. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that? So have your spirit just tell your mind and your soul, step back. I'm hearing what God is saying. I'm not going by Fox or CNN or by all the panic that's in the nation. I'm not going to live by a Supreme Court ruling I may like or not like. I'm not worried about what the Congress is going to pass. And I'm not sitting here with my head buried in the sand. I know they can affect our lives, but they can't infect us with their negativity. Keep in mind, good catch. Keep in mind, the devil is absolutely delighted when we get so caught up with living with our minds that we forget about that you're a spirit, you have a mind, and you live in a body. If your life is filled with worry and fear and anxiety, it's a message to you. Look at me now, that I'm not living by my spirit. My spirit is engaged with God, but my mind is still calling the shots. And I'm not telling you turn your mind off. I'm telling you to let your spirit be in charge of what your thoughts are, because your spirit will always lead you to Christ. your mind and my mind can become excessively negative. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And what does the devil want to do in your mind? He wants you focused on everything that's wrong or everything that's falling apart or things that's not going to happen. There's not going to be enough. As we mentioned last week, the word lack in heaven has no reference point. It's not a word that's used there. Lack of health, lack of wealth, lack of this, lack of that, lack of something else. There's no reference point in heaven because heaven is full of abundance. We okay? Am I over your head? I'm over mine. So what is Pastor Fearing going to do? We got some things going on in our family. We got a little operation coming for my grandson. If God doesn't heal him in 3-4 weeks, that could be very scary because he's going to have to be under an anesthetic for 3 hours, which is he's only 6 months old. Time to panic? No. It's the time to allow your spirit to have communion with God. Get a word from God on it. Stand on it. Whatever is happening in our lives, allow the atmosphere of heaven to flood your very soul and spirit, spirit and soul, and stand on the word of God. Do I pray for little Max every day? Do I feel concerned? Yeah, there are times I just wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, what's happening? But you know something? God is happening. Many of you know, and somebody talked about it today, a few weeks ago, we got a call on a Wednesday night. My daughter called just before church and said, Dad, they're testing me for cancer. You don't like to hear those things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I prayed with Tracy on the phone and went in and took some tests and did some biopsies, and so far no cancer. Praise God. My panic or my worry or my fear or my anxiety doesn't do anything to help. And I understand something. That people may look at you and say, well, you just don't care. You're not worried and you're not fretting and you're not fearful and you're not this and you're not that. You just can't care. Who said that? Of course we care. That's why we go to our knees. That's why we agree with God. That's why it's about Jesus, friends. And you know something? The earth is still solid. The ground hasn't shaken. There's a life in God. If I can explain this to you as I'm done, I think that's the third time I said it today. There's a life in Jesus that lifts you above all the circumstances of life. And it's not that you don't love, and it's not that you don't get hurt. It's just simply the fact he gives you the strength to go through it, no matter what it is. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I just want to see this body and this community and this state and this nation and this world living in your glory. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of preaching this morning and the privilege of having people here. And thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.